How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Why am I not popular? I'm acting like Hannah Montana.
This might be queer-coded.
Zac Efron to me doesn't exist.
Oh, his pants are so tight, he's gay.
What if he is?
8/7 Central, only on Disney Channel.
Right. I had to tune
like,
in.
Raven created us.
The pun is just begun. We were raised to be like, lose your fucking mind over them or
lose
you don't care.
It.
If you don't live and breathe this person, you don't give a shit about them. And you're lying.
Kelly, hit it up like a tractor. Hit a slacker. You're a slacker. Slack like a slacker. Call up Mr. Brady. Tell him he's the guy who sings baby. Ladies, come and try and save me. Lately, I'm hearing things that sound crazy like da ba da ba da. That was Justin Bieber speaking in tongues.
Good God.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another podcast episode of Fangirl Central. I'm Amber.
I'm Amanda.
We are sisters.
And we are talking about how being a fangirl is central to our identity.
For this episode, we are going to talk about Disney Channel. We were fangirls
Let's watch
of Disney.
A Disney Channel movie. Yeah. That was us our entire childhood. Like before, we were obviously always obsessed with stuff. Like we would watch Barbie movies over and over. We would watch animated Disney movies over and over, but then as soon as Playhouse Disney, like I remember the days that we Playhouse Disney turned into Disney Channel.
Well, yeah, because it was like Playhouse Disney was clearly like when we weren't in school, we were watching morning things.
Right, we were children, were babies. And I even remember like being at grandma's house before, like when we hadn't even started school and we were still like turning the TV off after Playhouse Disney went off in the afternoon.
Yeah.
And then I remember the first day we stayed and watched Lizzie McGuire.
Oh,
like
my
we were like,
God.
Why don't we just watch this?
Oh my God. Cause I remember that too. I remember we would literally like turn it off around like 12.
Yeah.
And be like, well,
and they'd be like Disney Channel. Next up, the voice would change.
The voice would change. It wasn't the
she
like,
was like,
it wasn't
hey
the
girl,
Playhouse Disney.
Playhouse Disney.
And the then it's like,
we're going to go up next. Lizzie McGuire and even Stevens.
Oh my God.
And we decided collectively to be like, let's just check it out.
I remember my mother will say this. She used to be like, Amber, do not come and get me until you see the clock say 6. And she like pointed to me. She said, you know what a 6 looks like, right? Don't open. If your eyes are open and you see and it doesn't have a 6 here yet. That's how kind of I learned the concept of morning, because mother was like, quit waking me up so early.
That
six?
Is still too early for a six? Child to be turning the television on and be watching Roly Poly Oly and
oh my gosh,
PB&J Otter. The Lizzie McGuire movie came out in 2004 and we saw that in theaters and it was such a big deal to us. But I've seen a Lizzie McGuire movie millions of times and like can't really remember details from the show. Like the show was not really it for me. It was the movie because
I feel differently.
It was all up. It was for me. It was all about music. The movie has music in it. Mm. I love the soundtrack. And then there's a huge finale musical number. Mm-hmm.
And it was on a big screen.
And the Cheetah Girls had just also come out. The Cheetah Girls came out in 2003.
Yeah.
And it was the, and so did That So Raven. So we must have started watching Disney Channel, literally, I'm not even kidding, like a month before That So Raven premiered, because I remember the That So Raven commercials.
I remember the first episode, it was the zoo episode.
Yeah.
Do you don't like when I think of Lizzie McGuire, I think of the movie, obviously, but also I just like when I found out that I could buy Lizzie McGuire episodes on iTunes in like high school, I was like, oh my God, I know exactly which ones I want. And I wanted like the model episode and then the UGLYU
oh God.
That episode. I also thought that they were cool. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I want this. I used to just walk around with like a journal and scribble in it, not really saying anything in it. Just literal scribbles and just walk around with a little pin with a poof on the end because I wanted to be like them.
Lizzie McGuire, the movie came out and then it ended. So we had That So Raven. Sweet Life started in 2005.
Sweet Life. That show is gold. Such that ensemble is gold. Everyone on that show is an actor.
I just remember wanting to desperately to go to Los Angeles to go see a taping of Sweet Life. And it never happened. But I was like, they're all... They all shoot in Burbank. We have to make it to Burbank. Like,
you knew
we must
what
go to
Burbank. Back then?
Yes. And we never went to Burbank. We went to Los Angeles for the first time in 2006.
Yeah, we didn't go.
To go see our friend who was in this band that got put together, and we watched her show. And Ricky, the main boy in motion, was
a judge,
and so was Sarah Paxton,
the mermaid from Aquamarine. We thought that we were so cool too. We had our like Hannah Montana sparkly boas and like our little flippy skirts, as our grandma used to call them.
And I just need to say this, because we had the Cheetah Girls blew my mind, but I was too young to be able to learn the dances. I was too young to be able to like watch it as many times as I wanted to. Mm-hmm. And then High School Musical came out in January of 2006. Hannah Montana came out in March of 2006. And my entire life changed.
Yeah.
I was like, no, this is what I'm addicted to now. Period. I watched High School Musical, and then I watched the sing-along, and then I watched the dance-along, and by the time Monday came around, I was like, did y'all see High School Musical? I watched it 4 times. Everyone's like, Amanda, shut up.
Wait.
We're too old for that, and we were only in 4th grade.
Yeah, okay.
They were like, you still watch Disney? Who still watches Disney?
Like, but my curiosity is, what were they watching?
Right. I'm like, there's no way y'all didn't watch this.
Because also now, even in today's world, everybody's like, yeah, I remember that. And I'm like, so when? So then where was you when we was back in there?
It's because there was the Disney Channel girls, and then the girls that pretended they didn't like Disney Channel. And there were people that didn't like it genuinely. Mm-hmm. Like, there are people that have different tastes. But there were so many people, I think, that wanted to like it, but they're not like other girls. I don't like the Jonas Brothers. I'm not like other girls. Shut up about Twilight. I'm not like other girls.
Right.
And I'm like, let me enjoy this.
Right.
Like, let me just be... Why don't you hush up and let me enjoy my life?
I just remember everybody was so mad at me being so happy about being married to Joe when I was 10. I was like, listen... How is this harming you? Like, I'm obsessed with him because I think he's cute.
What now? How it can be? Now let's reverse.
Let's talk about how it can be harmful. Okay, so yeah,
Like, Hannah Montana came out. Mm-hmm. We are from Tennessee. We are from Memphis, Tennessee. Miley Cyrus is from Franklin, Tennessee, which is right outside of Nashville. Miley Stewart in the show
is from Crowley Corners. She's
from Crowley Corners, which is just Franklin. I don't know why they didn't just say Franklin. And that they marketed her as this normal girl from Tennessee who had a secret superstar pop star life in Malibu. And I don't know if anybody has known anything about me from these podcast episodes, but that was exactly my shit.
Yeah.
It was exactly my shit. I said, she puts a wig on And she's a pop star, but she's a normal girl from Tennessee, but she's also a pop star and she can do whatever she wants. I was like,
she lives in Malibu.
She lives in Malibu.
Which sounds so cool to tiny little Memphis.
That is what I want to be. That is who I am. And I said, that's who I am.
Right.
I was like, I identify with her, even though she was a blonde / brunette white girl. I said, I can be her. I can be her and I will be her.
She also had the little curls. Miley Stewart had those perfect, like, hot iron.
Curlers.
What's the thing called? Curling iron.
Curlers.
No, they were like, they literally like didn't comb them out or anything. They just said,
they were ringlets. And they were definitely like, this is too much to do for the, like, we don't need to do this every episode. No, this is too much.
They definitely stopped after that first, like, pilot run.
All that to say, I really thought that I could be here and I had a rude awakening.
Amanda performed. Now listen, because I know you had a rude awakening, but I want to give you your flowers right now. Amanda performed the Nobody's Perfect dance in like a very Hannah Montana-esque outfit for her fifth grade talent show on that trip. And at our, like, okay, I don't know if y'all remember things like, what was it called?
Transition Day?
No, Transition Day was when people went from fourth grade to fifth grade.
I performed it there too for the fourth
graders.
Because
they asked her to come back, y'all. Okay, let's talk about that. They asked her to perform it again. But I was talking about when you performed at
Sweet
Libby
and Sassy.
Lou's. Yeah, not Libby Lou's.
Sweet and Sassy. Did y'all have any of these? Shout out if you had any of these like really girly,
like they would host birthday parties and you could bring your friends and turn into like glam pop stars with a lot of glitter and they would do your makeup. And I'm sure it was like college students who worked there.
I bet.
But like,
I bet.
Imagine like, they were professional makeup artists.
It's like a Claire's with a stage and a dressing room and
a pixie stick maker that you can customize with the pixie stick dust.
It was like made for birthday parties and events, but also you could go and shop there. And they had this Hannah Montana competition.
Clothes, yeah.
And that you could enter in and like perform, and you had to choose between Life's What You Make It, Make Some Noise, and Nobody's Perfect.
I can't believe you remembered Make Some Noise because I didn't.
Because nobody did it because it was like the slow song. And yeah. I was like, whenever anyone did it, I was like, stop. Like, we don't want to see like a 10-year-old girl singing badly to Make Some Noise. We
but
want to put on a
singing.
Show.
You were lip syncing, I thought.
I think people were singing.
Some people do. Okay, well, I want to say when I listen to Make Some Noise now, which I have only done like once in the past like 2 years, but the one time I did, I got chills.
I love that song.
And I started crying.
Hey.
Oh my God, it's so beautiful.
Make some noise. Hey, yeah.
You like, scream, hey.
Please.
Yeah.
It's
beautiful.
And anyway, I entered this competition and I lost to a little blonde girl.
Shock.
And that was the beginning of long string of me getting hit, my ego getting hit by losing to
little white blonde girls. Oh my God.
Because in sixth grade, I was like desperately trying to be popular.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't understand why I wasn't. I didn't understand why all the popular girls were blonde and all their moms went to my school. All their sons went to the brother school and they all knew all the boys at the boys' school next door. And I was like, and they all were members of the country club. And I was like, why am I not popular? I'm acting like Hannah Montana.
And it was because they literally...
So why am I not popular?
It was to answer the...
because I'm black.
To answer the hypothetical question, it's yes, because in short, Amanda's black.
just also, me. Amber's not.
We are black, but also... The friend groups were kind of like grandfathered in, like they had already
absolutely
known each other, like all families had known each other. You have play dates with your babies and then they go to the same school. And then when kids who didn't come out the womb with moms being best friends are trying to make friends with these schools, there's already this type of hierarchy where it's like, what? Why would you? Your moms make your friend set up your play dates for you. And so if it's just easier for them to set up their playdates with the kids that they had at the same time rather than the random little black girl that just showed up.
Because especially at the school that we went to, it's like over 100 years. Like our mom was, I think she was the first black teacher in their entire over a century history. And
she
then
our dad came in as the second.
I used Disney Channel as an escape, but I also used it as my blueprint. Like I literally thought that if I acted like all the confident girls on Disney Channel, and if I said life's what you make it, nobody's perfect, who said I can't be president,
right,
this is the life, like I'm a rock star, I thought that I could use that to combat the hierarchy and the mm-hmm. society that I lived in. And the society that we lived in was old money, white, like racism. Mm-hmm. And so I was trying to beat the popular girls at their own game.
Yes.
By out blonde girling them, kind of.
Right.
But it didn't work. I'm not Hannah Montana.
It wasn't like we really thought it was all about mindset. Like,
All about mindset.
Because now when I say this, this is what everybody, I think of this metaphor. Remember when you guys had a digital camera and you would take the selfie, and if you were in frame, the picture was great. Didn't matter what your face looked like. Didn't matter like how blurry it was. I mean, it didn't matter how blurry it was. But if you were in frame, this might just be me. If I was in frame, I was like, nailed it. This is cute. And it's gonna go on Plaxo, which was like the young people Facebook. When I was like in fifth grade. But like, I just was like, if I got all of my friends in the photo, I was like, mm-hmm. Cute. We all look amazing.
Yeah.
And this is fantastic. Mm-hmm. This is friendship. No edits, no retakes. But I feel like it was all about mindset. Anyway, I went on a phone at tangent with my metaphor.
What was the metaphor?
The metaphor was that
if your mindset's right.
If you believe. If in your heart you believe it was a good photo, then it was.
And if I believe in my heart that I am Miley Cyrus / Hannah Montana.
Or as cool as her.
I'm as cool as her, but even like as cool as her meant everything about being a white girl save the literal color of my skin. Like I wanted my hair to be as silky as hers. I wanted my hair to be blonde. Mm-hmm. I wanted to like be as like thin, pretty, feminine mm-hmm. as Miley Cyrus. Mm-hmm. And what the thing is that we come back to is like Miley Cyrus couldn't even live up to Hannah Montana.
Right.
She herself
talked about this.
Could not live up to that girl. She said,
or Miley Stewart.
Anytime. So I'm not pretty unless I have a blonde wig on, a bunch of makeup and sparkly clothes. And that's what they were teaching that little 12-year-old girl.
And also I love her to death, but now she's blonde.
Like seriously.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? United Healthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So I was talking to somebody from my hometown the other day, and we were talking about how...
Is she black or white?
White.
Okay.
Well, if the story is going to get into that. But we live on opposite coasts and out of Memphis. But she was talking about how, you know, like senior year, she just gave in to society. She was like, this is my last year and I'm just gonna like play the part and like fit in and hang out with all of the boys from the boys' schools and da 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 da. And I was like, this was my response. I was like, that's what I was up to in eighth grade. That's what I was doing. I was doing that. And then by senior year, I was like, oh, I physically can't do that.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
We can do a version of that, but is definitely not going to be the same thing.
Right. I feel like it's like the farther you are from the ideal, the harder it is to force it on yourself. And the closer you are to the ideal, sometimes the easier it is. Mm-hmm. And so the easier it is to get washed away into like, you should be, this is the prototype of what a girl should be. Mm-hmm. And it was like a thin white blonde girl mm-hmm. from the South. Mm-hmm. And I really was desperately trying to do that in middle school, like mm-hmm. in sixth grade was like the year. And as soon as I felt like I was fitting a square hole into a round peg, I was like,
Oh, it's not working. In particular, senior year was a year. My senior year was, I am class of 2016. I don't know if y'all all remember the election year of 2016, but that's what I was dealing with my grade of like 8 black people against the other 60 white girls. Mm-hmm. Well, we had 4 brown girls. So y'all do the math. I'm not going to do it. But it was a very white grade. But literally, there was a whole debacle junior year that caused kind of a little bit of a race war in the group chat because we had a whole group me. And I think that put me in the mindset for senior year to just be like, I was like, okay, I'm going to play the part and I'm going to get sentimental about leaving the school that I've been at for 15 years, but I'm going to know who I want to be around and who to keep my distance from for mm-hmm. real. Mm-hmm. Like there were girls where I was really like, I'm a laugh with you in like math class, but like, I know what you're thinking.
Yeah. You had we both had an obsession with the Jonas Brothers in middle school. Like I feel like it went from High School Musical, Hannah Montana, Jonas Brothers because of Camp Rock.
Mm-hmm.
And because we saw the Jonas Brothers open for Miley at the Best of Both Worlds tour. Because fandom was always the constant.
Mm-hmm.
But how was it affecting your life? Like, if we were using Disney Channel for confidence in middle school, like,
how was I?
Where did
fandom?
It go?
Oh, I guess.
Okay. Talk about it in middle school first.
Okay. Yeah, I guess I was using fandom for confidence in. Actually, that's really something. That's something I was using in lower school because Hannah Montana was that was your entrance to middle school, and I was still kind of really young.
But what about the Jonas Brothers?
And the Jonas Brothers was my entrance to middle school. That was fifth grade. So the Jonas Brothers, I feel like that was like, this might be queer coded. I kind of, because I also think that I have a strong obsession with like celebrities because like I was never really attracted to anyone around.
Mm-hmm.
And if I was, maybe it was a girl at school.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, obviously that's not something that's possible because right. we grew up in the South and it was at Church of Christ and it was like, that's not possible.
Bad, gay.
Yeah.
Bad.
Or just even like what, like that's not
real.
That's not a thing.
It's not a real.
Like I didn't even think I wasn't even thinking, oh, I'm having bad thoughts. I was like, this is just pretend.
This
I'm only.
This is not what's happening.
This isn't right. Just complete denial.
And I had so many, and I'm not going to say what they looked like or what it is, but right. I had so many crushes on girls that I
am just
looked
now realizing
like celebrities
now.
That I had crushes on.
Yeah.
Is and all I'll say.
I'm thinking, I have realized that there are so many girls that like, maybe I was like, I had a crush on, didn't think that it was a crush, thought I just wanted to really be friends. But that's just to say, like, I think that I was so outwardly like, I am obsessed with this boy named Joe Jonas and we're gonna get married.
You would literally sign
my
name,
Amber
honor
Jonas, but then
the honor code we had to sign, we had an honor
on
code, so
my
we had to
honor
sign.
I pledge that I have not witnessed, participated or received any help on this assignment
test.
Or this test,
and you had to sign it.
You had to sign your name, and I have to say Amber Jonas. But I also like, but I just, this is another two-party to this. People would also say, "Oh, his pants are so tight, he's gay," and I was like,
mm-hmm.
"What if he is? That don't mean his appearance changes. I still think he's cute." I used to be so confused on why that was like, why I shouldn't be attracted to him.
Me too.
I was like, if the fact is that he's gay, he's already gay when he looks like that. And I've already signed off on that I like his appearance.
Right,
so what's
like,
your point?
I don't understand the point. Like, what is your point? And also, like, stop. People would take glee in, like, insulting people that we had crushes on because we had the gall to say that we had crushes on them outwardly.
Yeah.
It's like anyone, if you're having fun, somebody has to bring you down. Like, you know that blah, 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 blah. You know Twilight's badly written. Hell yes, I do. I'm loving it.
Am I not having a good time?
Am I not having a good time?
You're having a horrible time, and that's on you.
That's none of my business.
On your stank attitude.
Stank. Stank
ass. But anyways, that's why we here at Fangirl Central really support anything that you guys like, even fandoms that we don't particularly partake in.
Right, because
be happy.
It just did really, it really did just, I
whatever.
I had to be part of it. I had to be Disney Channel commercials and the remixes and the DC games and that voice. And it's coming new on 8/7 Central, only on Disney Channel. Yeah. I had to be there. Right. I had to tune in.
Okay, so middle school, I was obsessed with Joe Jonas. And I think that was like kind of me coming into my sexuality. Like, honestly.
Absolutely.
That's what I think.
It was Zac Efron for me.
I think I'm Thailand Fanny Flutters. And it's about this boy here with the really pretty eyes. Oh my God, Joe Jonas.
It was Zac Efron for me. And I also loved Joe Jonas. But
don't
like,
put me on this.
But when I was in fifth grade, I was creating Zac Efron message boards. Like,
we have to move on from Joe and Zach.
We have to move on from Joe and Zach
here.
I do want to plug.
We're going to come back for Zach, but we need to just move on.
But because we're talking about it, me and Amber do drag as Zach and Joe in the show that we're going to talk about.
I've said that I can confidently hold down a conversation with a lot of my idols. I don't know what would happen if Zac Efron can't turn around the corner. I don't.
No.
And I don't know what would happen if Joe turned around the corner.
No. Zac Efron to me doesn't exist.
I want horse blinders on if Zac Efron's about to be up in the vicinity.
We've met a lot of our favorite celebrities. Like, I would say that we've met a lot of our favorite. Like, we met Sebastian Stan 3 times. I don't know. I forgot. I last count, and it's gonna make me sick if I talk about it. But we've met a lot of them. Our baby Disney Channel obsessions, we didn't realize how accessible I feel like society didn't realize how accessible celebrities could be. It was before Twitter. Mm-hmm. It was before like social media. It was before we knew we had the internet that much. Really, like the internet could connect us to. You can literally go see a Suite Life taping for free, or right. like you can literally go and wait outside the door to meet Miley Cyrus sometimes.
Because
we were in Tennessee, we didn't have access to it. The first celebrity we met was Orlando Brown, and that was only because for some reason he came to a local elementary school to sign his albums that no one knows about. And then we met Corbin Bleu. It was like, first of all, because they thought that they wouldn't draw as much of a crowd.
And what what they don't realize is that there are a lot of black people in the damn South.
Right.
And
most of those
parents took their black kids to go see Corbin and his dad. And I'm pretty sure his dad is from Mississippi. So big mistake there. Or actually, I think that's right. how they got him down
The
there.
Line was down the block. But
around the whole Delta
my
Fair.
My point is that we never met like Miley, Jonas Brothers, Zac Efron. We never met those people. And so to me, if I see them in public, that's not them.
No, right.
That's not it. That
even Justin Bieber like lives around a lot of friends' neighborhoods. But like even to that extent, like that was my 7th grade obsession. And we ran around the Wolf Chase Galleria looking for him.
Oh my God. When he was in town
and we never found him.
I completely forgot about that.
There was
that.
A point where we heard he was at like the Guitar Center, that he was playing drums at the Guitar Center. And so when we got
oh
there.
Oh my God.
We heard the someone drums. Playing drums and we creeped up to the wall because it was like in a different room. And we were like, this is it. He's going to be in the room. He's going to be there. And we turned and it was like some strange man who was not just, I'm sure he was a normal man.
Oh my God. I'm literally remembering that. Like
it was,
I'm
like,
literally, my body is remembering it.
It was
like when we shot the One Direction short.
Right.
And I was like, Harry Styles is around the corner.
That
like I feel it right now.
Yeah. No, literally.
Because I remember being like, we're about to see Justin Bieber.
It's the drums in the Guitar Center. Like, well, he was probably long gone.
High school, I think me and Amber separated fandoms. Like, we started not really taking community in each other with our fandoms. I went on Tumblr and I watched Doctor Who, Sherlock, Invader Zim. Like, I got into those types of things. And then Amber watched, like, Degrassi. And, like, we had, when One Direction, like, you
yes.
got, but then, like, then like it took a couple years for us to come back together and mm-hmm. fandom. And then we would only talk about it with each other, like with the One Direction short or like going to Comic-Con
like,
and
yeah,
Teen
Marvel,
Wolf.
Teen Wolf.
And then by the time we got to college, I felt kind of like,
let me not
ashamed,
talk about it.
Yeah. Especially about the Disney Channel stuff. Because anytime I would talk about like Marvel and stuff. Cause like, oh, boys think it's cool.
Mm-hmm.
But if I talked about Disney Channel, there was like, it was like people our age weren't ready to like, relish the, mm-hmm. in the nostalgia and really just own up and say, like, I love High School Musical.
And I think that was, I think that is like literally where the tiniest generation gap of our 2 years is, because by the time I was like in like sophomore year of college, me and my friend group were all, or freshman year, we were like running around the campus singing like Strut every mm-hmm. single time we were on mm-hmm. the way to East Commons. We
well, also you, State. Your friend group though, is
very freeing.
Your friend group is like very diverse. Like your friend group from college has a lot of Black girls in it. Yeah. And I
we had a very diverse floor. We were the only floor with all girls. And I was pissed about it when it first happened, but then we literally had the greatest
right,
time.
Right, because I feel like the upside, because we were talking about the bad parts of this vortex, which is the literally the Disney vortex that we were in, which is what our show is based off. Mm-hmm. It's an autobiographical music review where we talk about every single thing we just talked about mm-hmm. through song and dance and drag. But like getting out of that vortex for me has been not, it's not leaving it all behind. It is relishing in it with other community. Like yeah. it's like owning up to it and finding the sense of pride and joy in it. Mm-hmm. And I feel like you could do that in college because you were on an all girls floor. And when you're with all girls, like we were for fucking 15 years at yeah. our all girls school, you can do whatever the hell you want at school. It's like you can scream, you can faint on the floor.
You don't have the pressure of like the, like trying to
impress anybody.
Impress the male gate. Like the girls were going buck wild. In high school, it was really fun because you had like the block schedule.
Yes.
And like so you much free time.
We would go and secretly into the screening room by the library and like marathon Arrested Development.
Oh my God.
Marathon Arrested Development during study halls.
My college floor, we used to go into the seminar room and just kick people out who were studying. We'd be like, oh, we're going to come in here in 2 hours for a screening. Non-official. We were like, we're gonna be watching Sister's Keeper. You gotta get out. You studying for a final. You gotta get out at 8 p.m. because we'll be rolling in here. Like, just no authorization.
And that's like
to do so.
I just feel like because we're 2 years apart. I left Memphis 2 years before Amber, and
I was sad.
I feel like when we were separated from each other in college, I was hiding a little bit of my fandom. Like I wasn't going to be the one to be blasting Jonas Brothers. I wasn't going to be the one to be blasting Five mm-hmm. Sauce. Like, I mean, but as soon as we were together, I was doing that.
Right.
What were you saying?
I was going to say, and then there was a period of time where Amanda stopped playing Fuck, Marry, Kill with me. Like we used to play with our favorite celebrities. She stopped playing them because she was like, I don't know. I don't want to do that. She's like, I'm just not into that anymore. And I was like, bitch, it's fun.
I was like trying to deny. It's because of the parasocial element of things.
It's
starting like,
to get too
I was like, I
toxic.
Feel crazy. And if I want to work in this industry, I don't want to feel crazy.
Right. I had the same
I
thing.
Want, and so now later, I feel like we got to go through the growing pains mm-hmm. of becoming an adult fangirl and being like, look, certain parts of my fangirl history are shameful uh-huh. instead of throwing them away. Like the parts that are like, I was mostly into things that white people were into mm-hmm. slash in mm-hmm. like, I'm not going to hide from that shame. I'm going to say that I love High School Musical and Hannah Montana while knowing that they highlighted the white people because it was a racist industry and right. the racist marketing practices. I'm going to also pay homage to Raven Simone and the Cheetah Girls and say that created us.
Like when I hear, like sometimes I'll say things and what's the thing? I can't think of the word. The inflection. I could not think of the word. The inflection in my voice. I'm like, oh, Raven just jumped out at me. The same mm-hmm. way I would be like, oh, that sounded like my mother or that sounded like my father.
Right.
Like, I swear I'm like, Raven raised us.
Raven did raise us. She raised a generation.
Yes.
I think she knows that. I don't think the world knows that. Like, I think.
I'm going to cry.
I think people our age know that. Any Black girl who grew up with Raven is like, that bitch raised me.
We have to talk. Yes. We have to talk about this. One time, there were about five Black girls in a room.
It was us, Amber's roommate Tiana, Amber's other friend from college, Capri, and her cousin, Kiva.
Yes. Okay, yes.
And we had never watched the Cheetah Girls with any of these people in the room. I mean, you probably did.
I mean, I have.
With them in college. But I had never had this many black girls in a room watching Cheetah Girls since Cheetah Girls 2 came out and I was in that hotel birthday party. Y'all know the hotel birthday parties I'm talking about with your cousins.
With your cousins. Your older cousins babysitting you. Loki being mean as Vicky.
Literally.
But, okay, so yes, we were all watching it, kind of just being silent, watching the...
opening
and it just started coming out of us. We just started screaming all the ad libs.
Everybody,
party's just begun. Like,
and there's a lot of ad libs.
People, and we were working together as if we were a rehearsed girl group. We like taking whatever bit didn't pick up,
and we were dancing.
Genuinely beautiful. I think I have a video
of it. The party's just begun. Yes, I'm sorry. It was magical,
so spiritual.
That is what I mean. That's the magic of fandom.
And that's why I want to have sing along parties. Okay, because also, sorry, we had a sing along party to launch this podcast, and it was one of the greatest nights of my life because we were singing "See You Again" by Miley Cyrus, "Seven Things." Selena Gomez.
I got up there and I sang Doja Cat too.
One Direction.
Like I love the complexity and the duality of the fact that we can have these things that raised us, but then also the things that are still raising us now. Because there are still people that are influencing me. Like I would say just as much as Raven influenced me when I was little, mm-hmm. but I'm less impressionable. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I have higher standards mm-hmm. and I also am not being parasocial with these people. Like
yeah, it's just like out of respect. You're like, yeah. I really respect what they're doing.
Like I listen to a Beyonce obsessively, mm-hmm. but I'm not obsessed with her.
Like I don't need to know everything about her.
I don't need to know where she is.
I no longer need to know every fact about a person to appreciate the art that they put out. Like I think that was a very
say that again.
I think, do you want me to actually say it again?
Say it again.
I no longer need to know every single fact about a person to respect their art and what they're
exactly.
releasing.
Exactly.
Like, I feel like that, like, it was, I think we were raised to be like, if you don't know everything about this person, there's no way that you...
Then
like
you're a bad
the
fan.
The way, as much as you say, you then don't
you're,
know.
You're not their number one fan.
You don't know what the time they were born.
The qualities of being a number one fan?
Know everything. Mania. Literally lose your fucking mind over them or lose you don't
it.
Care.
Or you don't care.
You don't care. If you don't live and breathe this person, you don't give a shit about them and you're lying. It's literally the extreme of like, oh, you like this band, name three songs.
It yes,
was
exactly.
More than that.
It
oh,
was
you
exactly.
like this band? Ruin
name,
your life.
Name the hospital they were born at.
You like this band, like don't do anything.
What is their father's
outside of the
middle
realm?
Name? Like, it's just a breath of fresh air to be able to live in our truth as
like
fangirls and
cult.
Being passionate about something and being passionate about the art that somebody creates without having to track them down, mm-hmm. without having to know every single update about them, follow update accounts without having to like, it was also stressful. It felt like you were studying for a history test.
Right. Yeah, honestly, it did get to be that exhausting and also kind of addicting because I remember when One Direction started like being seen less in the media like around 2014 because they were like off tour or whatever. They were resting like people with jobs who needed a break. And so they weren't in the media. I pivoted immediately to Five Seasons Summer and started obsessively learning about what they were doing on their press media tours.
Because you just had to fill that hole.
Because I needed something. Like I was just like, I don't need something. Like...
Y'all, if you relate to anything that we have said on this episode, I would highly recommend coming to see our show Disney Vortex at the Elysian Theater if you're in LA.
I agree.
I
second that recommendation.
It's like literally a party. we encourage the audience to sing along with us.
Yes.
Like scream it out. It's like a musical review with Disney Channel songs from Raven, Cheetah Girls, High School Musical, Hannah Montana, Jonas Brothers, and we're playing ourselves mm-hmm. at every age.
Yes.
We do drag, we dance, sing.
We have a fanatic release of just chaotic energy.
Our parents are in it.
Yes, and we have family in it. It's a heartwarming show, and it really was healing to work on. It's healing to work on now as we're making edits and...
We have a Kickstarter going as well, so if you would like to donate, we're just going to try to reach those stretch goals and give you the best fucking show imaginable.
Right.
Like,
and this is just the beginning.
I'm also going to put the poster up on the screen because the poster fucking rocks. Thanks, Sam K. Shout out Sam K.
Sam K is a genius.
Anybody can relate. You don't have to be black.
No,
you can be, we're talking about queer things. We're talking about being a misfit and we're talking about being an outsider in any way and how releasing yourself into fandom can be maybe the cure that you need. And also some of the poison.
Yeah.
It's a cure mixed with poison. And we're talking about all of it in Disney Vortex. Mm. Break out of that vortex.
And once again, y'all, keep it chaotic.
Keep it chaotic. This has been Fangirl Central.
I'm Amber.
I'm Amanda. Follow us
at fangirl.central. My handle is Amber L. Miller.
And mine is Amanda Lane Miller. Yes, we have the same initials.
Everybody on our dad's side of the family, in fact.
So thank you all for listening. And links to tickets to Disney Vortex are in our bio, bitch.
We'll see y'all there.
Bye.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.